What did DeJounte Murray mean by system? And where does Devin Vassell have to improve ahead of next season?
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I am your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Kids 5 San Antonio. Happy Monday, everybody. Start of a work week, but we're here to get you through this weekend, and we're going to kick it off just right because we're going to bring up DeJounte Murray again. I know, just when you think this topic is over, it's not over yet. Frankly, it's the offseason, like the bad part of the offseason where everything is just grinding to a halt. If you really think about it, this is like the first real offseason the NBA has had in years because of the pandemic. But so it's been a while since it's been this type of offseason. But nevertheless, we're going to expand on the whole system word that DeJounte Murray used in his social media post that lit up for the Spurs fan base. And then we're going to start looking ahead at next season. We're going to start off with Devin Vassell and what areas does he need to improve on? And is he going to be the vocal leader of the Spurs? Who is helping me today? My colleague over at Kens5.com, the weekend sports anchor, Casey Vieira. Casey, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. And whoo, we're in this offseason, aren't we now? Now, this is the doldrums of the offseason.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This is usually when you bring me on three times a week because you know. Ain't nobody else around.
Hey, who else is going to talk to me about lunchboxes that Keldon Johnson is going to bring to Media Day and, the new shoelaces that the NBA is going to bring out? But
oh, man, the three-time-a-week COVID days. Feels like years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up. Thanks for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. Free and available where we get podcasts. And just a warning, Locked On Spurs is going to start slowing down. It's not going to be as frequent anymore until the new season is here. But nevertheless, it is the off season. But, you know, there's a few topics that we can still discuss. And the big one still, I think it's still resonating with Spurs fans, is the DeJounte Murray social media tweets. Talk about a breakup that kind of went a little bad afterwards, huh?
And I think I'm still kind of, I'm still kind of processing why is he so mad? Like, what did the Spurs do that has him being so petty? You know what I mean? Like, it's okay. So what happened last year? They let DeRozan, they were content with DeRozan walking because they're like, all right, we want to see DeJounte being the guy. Said DeJounte is the guy and largely does a pretty good job. I mean, makes the All-Star game replacement. I mean, metrically, advanced stats, he's top 20 in a lot of big things. Had a really good year, had a breakout year. The Spurs, they realize that they're in a rebuild. And so they're saying, you know what, let's send you to a team that you have a chance to win with. Okay. Mm-hmm. They send you to a team that he has a chance to win with. And so all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you get, oh, I'm not being held back anymore. I'm about to, you know, I'm me again, things like that. You know,
I'm free.
Broken.
Capital letters.
I'm free. It's like, what? This is not like a situation, like a John Wall situation where they're telling him, don't show up to work. Like you're he was the focal point of the team. They gave him everything. And he starts being vocal about how they were holding him back and alluding to things behind the scenes. But for me, I think a lot of it is that I don't want to say we should have saw this coming. But how many times during the year did he get on these Twitter rants? Yeah. And we were just wondering, like, dude, why are you so mad? You know, what's why are you so fired up? And then on the other side of the coin, it's demanding for all these things, respect and things like that. And it's like, all right, dude, let's, you know, okay, you made the play-in last year. let's see what you can do. And then you get three quarters of the way in the season, and the only reason they're in the play-in is because LeBron is on vacation in February.
Yeah, and then in the play-in, he doesn't step up. It was Devin Vassell who stepped up.
Oh yeah, and then above game. And then above all else, when it comes time to play the biggest game of the year, he has probably one of his worst games of the year.
I don't know. The only thing I think of is, because I don't know if you're aware of, everybody saw that tweet and then that IG post, but I believe a day later, or maybe even a half a day after the IG post, there was another shot fired. I don't, maybe you missed that one, where a fan came in to defend him, to say, you know, I'll miss you, DeJounte. You know, go kill it over there in Atlanta. And then in that message to DeJounte, he put in there, in a nutshell, by the way, you are loyal. Maybe the Spurs are not. And then that's when DeJounte replies saying, okay, you're smart now. You get it. It's not about the fans. Yeah. I'm not angry at the fans. So I think he perceived some unloyalty, if you will, from the Spurs. Yeah. I think that's what he saw. But hey, you're right. But he got his cake and eat it. He gets to do both, eat it and do everything. You right. get dealt from a rebuilding situation. You're not in your prime years yet. He openly said that at Summer League to ESPN, that he says, I'm nowhere near my prime. You join a team that likely is going to make the playoffs before they get, remains to be seen. So what's the issue? The only I can think of is motivation, just something to spark him. You know, that Shaq, remember when Shaq made up the story about Robinson not signing an autograph for him when he's little? And that's that's what I can think of. Like, maybe he's just looking for some motivation to get him going. But yeah, it's just weird. But in his
what it takes, you know?
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. When he's over there on social media just spouting off, you know, one thing he didn't mention in the first IG post about the Spurs system, and that's what we're going to expand on. He said that he thinks something's bigger than basketball and the system over there doesn't work or something to that degree. We know he's referring to the Spurs. He's a young kid. We forget he's what, 24, 25? He's just a kid.
What is he, 25?
Yeah. Yeah. He's just a kid. And, you know, the Spurs system, I mean, our last guest on Locked On Spurs, Pledger, he says that it's still archaic. That is still trying to hang on to the Tim Duncan era, like that Tim Duncan era system worked, to a lesser degree, the LaMarcus Aldridge era, because the LMA was very, you know, social media shy, didn't want to do media, but he just feels that DeJounte's talking about the overall culture of minimal media, you know, minimal fan interaction.
And then in the context, you know, he was saying all those things initially. I agree with Pledge when he says that it's archaic and they hold on to a lot of the past. I agree with that. But then in that context with him, what does that have to do with him turn around saying you guys aren't going to win for another 15 years?
Oh, it's a shot, man. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, contextually, the two are apples and oranges. Like, where's the relevancy with the two? You know what I mean?
Oh, right. The only link I could think of is that the Spurs go through that whole Spurs process as a kid. You know, you got drafted. Yay. See you in Austin. Talk to you when you're ready. Maybe that is a system that blends the two, where, no, you get drafted a la Primo, and you don't spend a second in Austin. You come right to San Antonio.
But that's different times, though. You know, where's a 20-year-old kid gonna play in a rotation that has worked, full of functioning veterans? I'm referring to like up to like 16, 17. You know, right around even 17, 18, even that year pre-Kawhi. You know, you have a functioning team that's win now. With everybody who knows their role, there's no sense of urgency to put a 20-year-old on the floor, send them to Austin so they can get the burn. You know what I mean? That's a different, the use of Austin between then and now was only so frequent because the kids weren't going to play. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to play here. So send them to Austin, get them on the court.
Right.
And I think that's why, like you said, Primo didn't spend any time there because there was a window of opportunity for him to play. Mm-hmm. Just like I think it's going to be the case this year.
Yeah. They got no choice, I think.
Yeah, they got no choice.
They got to play him. Well. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But to a degree last year as well. Yeah.
BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. For all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for all odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sporting wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They got you covered. Even got the lines on whether or not the trio of rookies out in San Antonio will make a push for the Rookie of the Year award next season. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. Go right now. Go to BetOnline where the game starts. We're talking with Casey Vieira. He is my colleague at Ken5.com. Follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. We're talking about, yes, DeJounte Murray IG post. And what do you mean by system? Yeah, there's so many things you can look at the word system. Is it the culture? Is it the, you know, like I said, minimal fan interaction, media interaction? I mean, I don't know if you heard or you saw, and if not, I'll send it to you. Our friends over at San Antonio Sports Star, Rob Thompson, when this whole DeJounte Murray thing popped up, he told like this story that is a little eye poppy that he met DeJounte Murray his rookie season during media day, and at the media day session, you know, they're just wandering around back in the old day, back when you used to be able to wander the media, the whole practice court, just kind of talk to players. And that Rob pulled out his little portable, you know, voice recorder and put it to DeJounte, asking for a liner, you know, just like one sentence. This is DeJounte Murray. Listen to Locked On Spurs. This is DeJounte Murray. You're here at Kings5.com.
I think I've heard.
You heard the story? Okay, yeah.
Go ahead.
And that he said he wasn't even pressing the button yet to get DeJounte to speak and to record. That out of nowhere, that somebody of the Spurs staff grabbed him his voice recorder, took it out of his hand, and said, "We're not doing that today." And then
for some reason, I remember he told me that story as well. And I was trying to, and we may have even talked about it, but that process is like Dwayne Dedman in my head.
Yeah. Oh, no. The Dwayne Dedman story is separate and apart, at least according to Rob, that Dwayne Dedman got fined for simply just going on his show over there, The Star, just talking about what it's like to be a Spur. That was it. Something so innocent.
That's
nothing.
What it was. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
But my point
along the same lines both ways. Yeah.
Right. But our point is, or my point is that, you know, the system doesn't allow for players to really interact with people, get to know everybody. You know, look, these kids nowadays, Casey, they're about social media. Jeremy Sohan just had an impromptu Q&A with fans.
Right.
No, unregulated by the Spurs staff. He just popped on social media and just started chatting away with fans, and fans got to know him. And I think that's refreshing. I think that's needed. But, you know, the system doesn't allow them to maybe expand their brand, you know, pump out when was the last – I still argue that the last truly marketable – player for the Spurs was David Robinson. He was the last one. No, let me finish. I mean, Tim Duncan.
Yeah, okay.
Was he marketable? I mean, was he really
He's not the most social butterfly. Yeah, he's not the most social butterfly in the world. Yeah.
Manu wasn't. Tony a little bit, but he was more in France. Kawhi, well, you can forget about that. David Robinson was the one that was doing Hollywood movies. David Robinson was
the one. Yeah, so right. So what's your? Yeah, what's? I'm sorry.
Like.
What's your definition of marketable?
like a spur that can say, you know what, when I'm in San Antonio, look what I can do. I'm on movies. I'm have Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood Reebok. I mean, Nike commercials. You know, I'm starring in the MC Hammer music video.
Right.
I'm co-starring with Billy Crystal. You know, he was the last marketable one. You know, and after that, that's it. It's like San Antonio became this desert, this desert. And now, you know, you got lucky with Timmy and Tony and Manu. You know, they didn't really want the spotlight so much. I mean, like I said, Parker may have been the outlier in those three. Then you have Kawhi, who was just about shutting it down, zipping it. LMA was also quiet about things. DeMar was just here for a cup of coffee. And now you have DeJounte. These new kids are coming in, and they want to get their New Balance sneakers out there. They want to, get their clothing line out there. DeMar tried. He brought his clothing line to San Antonio. But nevertheless, when you think of the system, there's so many things about it. Is it about how they are clinging on to the past? Is it about how maybe the Spurs system doesn't allow them to be very marketable? Because DeJounte is always talking. You know, the most interaction I had with DeJounte during his time in San Antonio, yes, we spoke about the game. But if I brought up anything about his New Balance shoes, forget about it. Just forget about it. He's chatting me up as if like he knows me since he was a kid. Yeah, your thoughts.
Right. I mean, so like, is that – it's just like what's the definition of system then? Because if that is what he's saying, that's the system, then yeah, I agree with him. But then in the context, he's talking about the product of the floor and win loss and the way the system is set up, you're not going to win for 15 years. And in what way does Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood affect win loss on the floor? You know what I mean? Like that if it was him talking about a marketability standpoint, the ability to reach fans, get out there, that kind of thing, I'm with him because I think it's true. It's been too tight-lipped, and you know, the Spurs are at a different window, a different time frame right now, and they know that this is a different bunch, different group of guys, and that's why said guys are getting out there, and they're doing a good job of getting the new guys out there. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so, because the new guys that they're trying to get out there, Branham and Sohan and Blake Wesley, they're all really good, charming, entertaining guys that you want to build your brand around. But back to as it pertains to DeJounte though. Yeah. I mean, it's so tough to read this dude and his social media amidst mm-hmm. his, you know, capitalized words, every single word, which is a different Love conversation that. In its own right. Yeah. If that is what he's complaining about, all right, he's right. But is that really worth complaining about to the degree where you're just, you know, being petty to the extent that you are, turn around flashing money on the Instagram, some other NSFW posts that not allowed to talk about on here, you know, like, I don't think he's referring to that. I don't think he's referring to that. Me personally.
Well,
Well,
when I hear this, the word system, and it's pretty safe to infer that he's talking about the San Antonio system, then the whole system needs revamping, you know, whether that be their community, their fan reach, their marketability, the ability. I mean, we always bring this up. The moment Danny Green gets traded, boom, podcast. I mean, it was he had it ready to go. Fire it off.
Right.
They four ex-players become a lot more media friendly. A lot more. Richard Jefferson just turns on the charm the moment he leaves San Antonio. But you know, it's just the whole system. I'm just looking at the whole, like, everything that means system, whether it be that, as you talk about win losses. Okay, yeah, then there's the Austin angle. Do they just stash them in Austin and then bring them to San Antonio? Well, now they got no choice. They're going to have to bring these kids in now. Is it you know, something deeper, because he did say it's bigger than basketball. And I think that might be the key phrase in what DeJounte has shared in his Instagram post. It's bigger than basketball. Maybe it's something deeper.
Do you feel, I'm trying to kind of, it's a few thoughts here and it's a little all over the place. I'm trying to bring a central direction to it. So bear with me. Do you feel like he was of the belief that they wanted to build around him and put pieces around him, or he felt that way, and then they realized that it just, they were not going to be very good if they did that? In all likelihood, well, they're not going to say that to him directly, but right, they're saying, you know, they're saying that we trust our quicker path to success is not around you.
I mean, they did that with Keldon.
Is that it?
And they showed Keldon love. They gave Keldon the big contract. But then again,
I mean, DeJounte got his. The only reason DeJounte's extension was as much of a deal as it was because he had an ACL injury 2 years before that, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I'm trying to put pieces together around that. Is that maybe they had told him, you know, they had fed him all these things. Like, he's the guy. You know, we believe in you. You're the guy. And he's thinking, okay, you know, I'm here in San Antonio. I love the fans. And this is working out pretty well. I'm an all-star. You know, people in this city like me. And then he feels like, kind of hurt, kind of blindsided, because they said, you know what, we're going a different direction. We're going to, you know, we don't think we're a win now team.
Right.
Yeah. We don't think we're a win now team. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I could see that, because, and maybe in his eyes, he's saying, look, we're knocking on the door to the playoffs, you know, playing, like, yeah, make it to the play-in. We're right there. Give me a couple more pieces and boom, we're in. Now, whether that be waiting for Keldon to make his leap, which we start to see that last season, he was starting down that path. Vassell definitely took steps forward. In his eyes, he's thinking, I think we have enough here. Get one more piece, a John Collins, for example, and we're good. And then they go, it's all right. We need to hit the reset button. But hey, we can send you to Atlanta and you join your buddy out there. And he's like, okay, cool. All right. Fine. It hits him like, wait a minute here. Hold up.
It could be because that might be the most sensible way. And DeJounte is, as we know, is just incredibly difficult to figure out. But if we want to talk about a rational, closest to rational, I guess, thought process or argument, was that he felt spurned, and now he's saying all these things like, I'll show you that I'm the guy that you should have built around. And some of these things that he's saying coming out really petty, things like that, are just kind of being, I don't want to say misconstrued, because I feel like he was pretty direct with what he's saying. And he's saying things like, you know, 15 years, it's going to take 15 years. It's the system.
That's a lot. Yeah.
I mean, hate to say it, I like DeJounte. Good player, nice guy, but DeJounte Murray is not a every 15-year type of player. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
I guess that's the closest to it. If we want to put some kind of rhyme or reason, he just felt really hurt by it. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, he felt that they had something and they didn't, and they went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe they fed him something different than he thought or what he was being told all the way back this time last year. And now he's frustrated. You know, he's being a 25-year-old kid. He's mm-hmm. frustrated, caught up in the moment, saying some things that he'll probably regret in a couple of years when he's, you know, 28, 29, 30. He's a little bit older and wiser. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm pretty sure.
I think that's probably the closest to that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it'll be brought up when he makes his return to San Antonio next season. I hope somebody asks him. I hope I'm there to ask him. But
yeah,
we'll definitely see that. But yeah, whew, that was a heavy topic. This is good for the off season. That was a good one. All right, well, let's calm things down a bit and kind of quickly wrap up this episode of Locked On Spurs. We're here with my colleague at Ken's5.com. He is Casey Vieira, the weekend sports anchor. Follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. We're going to turn the corner now and talk about Devin Vassell, Murray's old running mate out in San Antonio. We talked about Keldon Johnson in the last episode of Locked On Spurs, but I think Vassell should start getting a little bit of shine because he's going to be looked on as, you know, one of the quote-unquote veterans now. I mean, he is. He's entering his third season, and for a very young team, that is a veteran on the roster. But over the offseason, he's been adding more bulk to his frame. I've been told that he and Keldon Johnson are spending a lot of time working out together, just them two. So they already feel as if they're going to be leading this team. Where would you like to see Vassell take his next step, whether it be statistically, you know, the mid-range, the three-shot, you know, facilitator, or is it something more in the locker room?
I think a little bit of both. And I think the window of opportunity to do both is there, without a doubt. Really, for a lot of these guys, the window of opportunity to do just about anything is there. I think for him, from the leadership standpoint, whether he would even prefer to do it or not, I mean, that's kind of, you know, he's going to be the one that a lot of these young dudes are coming up to being like, hey, what's going on? How's this thing work? And that's going to be his thing by default. But from an on-the-court standpoint, there's going to be a chance, especially if this point guard thing isn't figured out, which by all indication, it does not appear like it's going to be by the fall. Let's get a little bit of a facilitating thing kind of going on. Let's get something like that. Let's see him handle the ball, try to create his shot a little bit. Take advantage of the fact that potential advantage is there. For me, I think that's how he takes a next step. I don't know about the next step, but a next step to maximizing his game. I know you're going to see that out of Keldon.
Oh, for sure.
You're going to definitely see that out of Keldon. And viably, I mean, you can make the argument that Devin Vassell is the second most viable option on that offense.
They're going to,
by volume.
Yeah, they're going to need each other because heading into the season, you know, the ball's going to start and end with, for the most part, Keldon. And teams are going to see that, and they're going to try to shut him down, double-team him, get the ball out of his hand, you know, make him work harder on the offensive end. So he's going to need a running mate, and that's where Vassell comes in. Or it could be vice versa. You know, Vassell might be the guy that has a breakout season, and Keldon needs to be his sidekick. But the point is they're really going to need each other. But for Vassell, you started to see that gradual increase throughout the season last year. So if we just look at the last 3 months of the season, 12.8 points per game in February, 11 games played. March, 12 games played, 13.1 points per game. And then the final month, 6 games in April, 17.7 points per game. His assist shot up in March. It was about 2. It went to 3. The only thing that remained consistent in a good way is his turnovers remained low. I don't think he gets enough shine for that. He doesn't really make a lot of costly turnovers. In February, just 0.5 turnovers. And in April, 6 games played, 0.2. So that's really good. Yeah. That's one thing I like about his game. So that you're starting
gonna,
to...
That number's going to go up, though, because it's going to be a more volume thing. I mean, that's inevitable to go up, so I wouldn't be overly concerned if that were to happen.
The only thing I think it can really impact Vassell as far as making a progression on the court, offensively and defensively, maybe not so much defensively, though, but is as of right now, there is no true – we don't know who the point guard is. If it's Trey Jones, that will help because Trey Jones is very traditional point guard, very – set up first, my shot second. Is it Josh Primo? Dynamic, young, but turns the ball over a lot and maybe isn't ready yet. As of right now, he's just 19 years old. Or do they trust it into Blake Wesley, who showed something in summer league, but again, 19 years old. So that How do you see that impacting? I mean, just the team, just right. I mean, unless they go out and get a veteran in the free agents market, but if they're going to roll the dice and really rebuild and run with one of these three guys, then
what you're asking, the lack of point guard play, how's it going to impact?
I think the whoever they get Tab as the point guard can really impact Vassell and KJ.
Yes, I agree with that.
Because if it's Primo,
I agree with that's. If I mean honestly, if it's presently constructed, I think Trey Jones is going to be the starting point guard opening night, right?
Right. I think
presently
so too.
Constructed. I mean, right now for that fit, I guess that's probably the best option until you know that a guy like this, as it pertains to Vassell at least, can create his own shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the best option. Still, it gets him the touches, but he's not a ball dominant player.
I would really like to see covered. Well, there also too another big factor is, and it kind of blends in with the point guard, is DeJounte Murray is gone, and he was, you know, everything ran through him last season. Everything defensively started with him, offensively started with him. Plays were called for him. He called his own shots. Now that's gone. Now, so we're gonna see if that's gonna really help Vassell, and I think it will, and get more touches, and then we should see some of these numbers increase next season. One thing I'm not worried about is his ability to be vocal. We saw that in press conferences after losses, especially we talked about this before. Remember that string of games they lost? It was just like bad. Like they were just losing games just stupidly, like blowing up, blowing leads and everything. And they got to a point where Vassell went off script that season and just gasped and looked at the media and was like, what are we doing here? Like, what the F is
like,
going
dude,
on
you
here?
Said- Yeah, I remember. We were all caught up. We're like, you said like six words since you've been here. I don't even know what your voice sounds like. Who? What? What's going on?
Yeah. So I'm not worried about that. I think he has that in lock. But yeah, I mean, I would like to see. For me, I like to see him just really get to the free throw line. I think get more aggressive attacking the rim. I think that'll help him become that three-level scorer. We know he can knock down the three. Would you say he has a mid-range or that still needs improvement?
Consistent definitely needs improvement. I mean, he's shown he's capable at times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I think going to the free throw line would help him become that three-level scorer. Who knows? Maybe a guy like Malachi Branham might push him in the training camp. So, yeah. I mean, this team, man, if you start thinking about the makeup of this team and who's on the roster as of this recording, maybe Vegas isn't right. I mean, maybe Vegas is spot on. 23.5 games. Casey, the line changed. Brace yourself, everybody. Now? The Spurs are now projected to win 24.5. So, yay, one more win.
Oh, baby. They got faith in the Kevin Johnson contract.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, well, as I said, right now, 24.5, but still, I think they pegged them as the second worst team in the NBA. As of right now, but
now the second go around.
Yeah. I think they would. I think it was still the Kings at the bottom. I think it was the Kings or I'm sorry, not the King. I'm sorry. Thunder. But
elite company,
I know. Whew. This rebuild starts and it starts in just a few short months, but we're done talking. We want to hear from you. We really dived into that whole system word that DeJounte said on his Instagram post. What do you think? You agree with him? You disagree with him? What do you think he's trying to talk about when he referred to the Spurs system and things being bigger than basketball out in San Antonio? And what about Devin Vassell? Where would you like to see his growth next season? Is just simply X's and O's and that's good enough for you, or you really want to see him take his game to a whole new level on the court and in the locker room? Casey, what's going on over there at Ken's Five for you?
The usual. It's slow this time of year, just like you. But
yeah,
got football starting soon, so that should be good.
And you got the XFL, the worst kept secret in San Antonio.
We'll see, man. I know that's chatter for Sunday. I hope so.
I mean, it's pretty obvious now, right? It's been leaked already. Who the coaches and.
Yeah, I know there was another outlet that reported that, but I mean, I'm not. I'll believe it when I see it. I've seen this too many times before.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'd be remiss not to say that this is certainly a qualified city to host. That's right. For sure.
Man, that Commanders thing, that was a debacle. That was a debacle.
Well, the thing that was crazy was like they were drawing well. They were actually doing well. I used to live in that Southtown area, mm-hmm. and game days. I mean, it was pretty busy on that side of town. So I always felt like when they went under, it caught me off guard. I mean, mind you, in time, I didn't know about 95% of the business dealings as to why it went out and subsequent details as to why that happened. But it seemed like things were a go, all systems go, and it was drawn pretty well. I was mm-hmm. sorely mistaken, but yeah, I guess the Commanders were, it was an interesting time in the city.
It was another semi-pro team, just comes and goes. This is like more than just a handful now of these football teams to come and go. You had the Talons, you had the Commanders, yeah. You had the Force, you had the Gunslingers. The one that's still surviving till today is the reinvented Gunslingers that's in an arena football team in San Antonio. And they play at the Coliseum that's right next to the AT&T Center. So
they just wrapped up, or they wrap up this weekend. Their last home game was last weekend.
This is how you know it's the offseason, everybody. We're talking about San Antonio football teams that kept coming and gone. So welcome to the offseason. Exactly. But check out Kens5.com right now. We have some stuff coming out for you, even though it is the offseason. You have an article that should be out by now. Those lucky few Spurs fans that got in fan boxes in the last few months, I was able to talk with the Spurs themselves and gave me the reasoning and why they're doing this. So go check it out. It's on Kens5.com right now. And get the Kens5 Plus app. Locked On Spurs made it, baby. Casey.
Hey.
We're on it now. We're on the app now. It's official. So you download the Kens5 Plus app. It's there. So,
congratulations on the fancy new Twitter graphics that you have put together. That was very cool.
I had to make it a little bit more professional. I had to take down the Stormtrooper helmet, paint it as a Spur, the Spurs Fiesta colors. That hurt me. I didn't want to do that. I saved that image. I put it in the cloud. Everything. If I ever need it back, I'm going to put it back out there.
I was going to say.
But Casey, you want to follow him on Twitter at Casey_Vieira. We thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. For your second listen, check out Locked On NBA. It's basically 30 minutes of NBA news in just one quick bite-sized podcast. Go download it right now and subscribe to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Spurs YouTube page, Spotify, iTunes, you name it. Locked On Spurs is there. So for Casey Vieira, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.